Let's move on. Let's start with a prayer together as we commit our evening to the Lord, as we begin to focus our minds on the topics for this evening. So let's pray. Loving and giving God, we praise you that each and every one of us is truly made in your image, just as we are. Help us to appreciate that image in each other and not expect people to conform to a cultural understanding of what is normal and perfect. We confess that so often we wish everyone was just like us, and so we put up barriers to those who are in any way different. We acknowledge that you came into this world to break down barriers, and you did this supremely through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who made it possible for us to enjoy you forever. We thank you that through the broken body of Jesus, you brought wholeness to the world. May we, amid our brokenness, bring healing to the nations and restore a vision of humanity where all are valued for who they are. Help us to build true communities where all people can serve God, no matter how other people view them, for we are all one in Christ. We thank you that one day we will all stand before you and see you for who you really are, and marvel that we are part of this new community where all earthly differences have passed away. But until then, may we have a glimpse of this heavenly community now. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. But it's time for a quiz. Let's see what your knowledge of Paralympics is like, shall we? So there should be, hopefully, a series of questions on the big screen. So let's start with question one, Richard. Hopefully. Look at that. Which of these is not a Paralympic category? Amputee, cerebral palsy, deaf, visually impaired, and intellectual disability. Richard, reveal all. It's C, deaf. Question two. In what decade was the first ever Paralympics held? What do we reckon? Someone shout out a guess. 50s we've got? 40s? 60s? 20s? Richard, tell us where and what, when. 1960 in Rome. You've been looking at my quiz. Minister's son cheats. I'm sure you didn't, Cameron. Yeah. Okay, let's see. What is the International Paralympic motto? Is it faster, higher, stronger? Is it spirit in motion? Or is it C, friendship, excellence, respect? Hands up for A. Hands up for B. Hands up for C. Richard, show them. Spirit in motion. There we go. Okay, let's have question four. Are you learning? Are you learning lots about Paralympics? What is distinctive about Paralympics ice hockey? There might be a clue in the picture. It's played on sledges. Yep. And is known as sledge hockey. There we go. Okay, question five. The Paralympics awards gold, silver and bronze medals to one category of participant, none of whom have a disability. Who are they? The Guides for the Visually Impaired. Let's have a look. I think Lisa's been looking at the quiz as well. So? Do you win some chocolate? No. In which sport? Question six. In which sport did the first Paralympian also compete in the Olympics?
Archery.
Archery? You're saying 2012. Anyone else over this side?
Running.
No, reveal the answer. Archery in 1984. There we go. Pete Skiro, give yourself a pat on the back. Okay. And final question. When was the last time someone with a disability made a significant impact on you? And that's for you to think about, not to answer. Just think through people that you know, the contacts that you have, how that's changed your thinking. Lisa is going to come and read to us now from Luke chapter 14.
Luke 14, starting at verse 15. When one of the men sitting at the table heard this, he said to Jesus, "How happy are those who will sit down at the feast in the kingdom of God?" Jesus said to him, "There was once a man who was giving a great feast to which he invited many people. When it was time for the feast, he sent his servants to tell his guests, 'Come, everything is ready.' But they all began, one after another, to make excuses. The first one told the servant, 'I have bought a field, I must go and look at it. Please accept my apologies.' Another one said, 'I've bought 5 pairs of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please accept my apologies.' Another one said, 'I've just got married and for that reason I cannot come.' The servant went back and told all this to his master. The master was furious and said to his servant, 'Hurry out to the streets and alleys of the town and bring back the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' Soon the servant said, 'Your order has been carried out, sir, but there is room for more.' So the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the country roads and lanes and make people come in so that my house will be full.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that it contains. Open our hearts and minds now as we study it together to reveal your truth into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As many of you will know, I'm a football fan. I support, the best team in the world, but at the moment I can't really say. I support Arsenal, and there is one thing that you should know about Arsenal, that they are the only English Premier League team to have ever gone through an entire season undefeated. They had the honour for one season, and one season only, unfortunately, as being known as the Invincibles. For one season, they were the undefeated team, the undefeated champions of England. And as a supporter, that made me feel great. I even got the celebratory shirt with the gold piping around it to show that they were an undefeated team. Imagine your team being introduced week by week as invincible, as undefeated. Wouldn't that be great for CBC? But what a time it was to be an Arsenal fan, and how long ago it was to celebrate in such a way. Now this evening, you know, we're focusing on the Paralympics. And I wonder how many of you watched the Paralympic Games in Beijing 4 years ago. How many of you watched a swimmer, Eleanor Simmons, won gold in the 100 and 400 metres freestyle events. And the British Paralympic team just kept on winning. The swimming team alone took 44 medals. And in total, the GB team brought home 102 medals to finish second in the medal table behind the host, China. But you know, it's not all about the winners and the medals in the Olympics. The games are also about those that finish fourth and fifth as well. And you see those disappointment etched across their faces as after years of training and preparation, they finished just outside the medals. The truth is, though, that many of us may never compete in such prestigious events. But we too know defeat in our lives. Defeat in the areas of dreams that have been unfulfilled, of potential that has been unreached, of hopes that have been unattained. Sadly, for many of us, our society significance, our security significance and self-worth are blurred and damaged because of our assumed defeat. Yet the Bible traces God's remarkable relationship with his creation as a relationship of hope, of optimism and potential. A God who forgives error, stretches out purpose and defines significance in creating us in his image and making it possible for us to be all that is wonderful about being human through a restored relationship with Christ. This is the God who victoriously announces, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and hope." Jeremiah 29, verse 11. He is the God who wondrously states in the Psalms, "I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb." Now, Professor John Swinton, a specialist in the theology of disability, says it all when he says, "To be human is to be created, known, and loved." Yet many times in life, we feel unknown, ignored, passed over. We feel far from loved, unacceptable, rejected. At times we can feel less than human. So, I want us to spend a minute or two in personal reflection. I want you to take a moment to reflect on a time where you have known defeat through unfulfilled dreams or potential unreached or hopes unattained or feeling rejected. And I want you to reflect on that and ask yourself, how has your faith helped you in that time? And ask yourself, has your faith been impacted by this experience? And then in the silence, I want you to spend a bit of time and offer those situations, offer those feelings, offer those emotions back to God and allow God to deal with them. Just take a few minutes where you are to think through. Father God, you know the things that have been happening in our lives. You know for us where there have been unfulfilled dreams, where there's been a potential that we failed to reach, where our hopes have been dashed, or we feel that we've been rejected. Father God, help us to draw strength from the hope that we can have in you, that you know all about us, that you have plans for us, and that you care and love each one of us. Help us to hand these situations to you. Help us to hand these feelings over to you and draw strength from your amazing love for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I guess many of us here would have experienced the joy and thrill of receiving an invitation with your name on it. Could be a birthday party invitation, Cameron. For some of us, it might be a wedding invitation. You know, you are cordially invited. What does cordially mean? Sounds like a juice, doesn't it? Sorry, I know it's spelled differently, don't worry. Or we request the pleasure of your company. Isn't that great? Isn't that a nice feeling when you get out, somebody wants the pleasure of your company? And I guess we've had a lot of weddings this year, so many of us would have had that exciting moment when the letterbox flaps and the mail hits the floor. And then you kind of pick it up and there's an invitation in there, and that's really exciting. And you're asked to share in that special day. And I wonder if that would have been the kind of feeling for some of these people that Jesus talks about in this parable when they received their invitations originally. Remember in Luke 14 when Jesus tells a story of an invitation-only party. And it was going to be the buffet to end all buffets, a banquet beyond all banquets. And yet those invited guests soon began to offer their excuses for not being able to attend. Now the host's response, apart from getting angry, is to send his catering staff out into the community and to invite everybody they come across, including those on the fringes, those some people would have ignored, passed over, and indeed who were not in the original guest list. He says, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And when that's done, there's still room. So he instructs his staff again, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in. The master's motivation always strikes me. And it's in verse 23. So that my house will be full. The heart of God is for a full house. So he loves to party, and clearly everybody is invited. Not on the grounds of wealth or ability, of status or of upbringing. Not because they were the elite or the successful. Indeed, Luke tells us in chapter 15 that there's a party in heaven every time somebody comes to know and accept Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. Now, the imagery here is that the master's house is a place of invitation and welcome, where without prejudice and without discrimination, the uncompromising love of God is portrayed. What a wonderful imagery of what it is to be church. Let me say it again. The imagery here is that the master's house is a place of invitation and of welcome, where without prejudice and without discrimination, the uncompromising love of God is portrayed. Here's a question for you to turn to people around you and discuss. Are we, as a congregation, as a church, are we like that? If yes, how do you see it happening? If no, what could we do better? Do we reflect that image of the master's house? I think if we stretch our minds to it, we can look at all kinds of ways where we can do better. Not that we do badly. This is not a let's beat ourselves over the head and Martin's moaning at us, you know, because I think we do a lot of things well. But what can we continue to do? What can we do better to be more inclusive, to look out for the stranger, to make people feel welcome, to bring alive the imagery that we've been talking about this evening? That's what we want to be able to do. And that starts with us in this congregation. It starts with the morning congregation. It starts with us as we meet together as God's family, as God's church. How do we do that? Day by day, week by week, month by month in the church. So let's move on. As we reflect on the 2012 Paralympic Games, we're reminded of our inclusivity as human beings, our collective identity as those made in God's image. Now, this Professor Swinton writes, "There is nothing in disability that separates us from one another. It's not our bodies, our intellects, or our capacities that make us acceptable to God. It is God's unending love for each human person." Now, as a Christian, I'm acutely aware of my own shortcomings, and my children point them out to me regularly. My own failings and faults as well. And yet I'm confronted with a God in whose image I have been made. All of us, all humanity, made in his image. All colours, all sizes. Those with a disability, those without. And maybe that's the greatest victory to be secured. The realisation that our obsession with popularity, with looks, with image, well, the gospel cuts right across those and turns them on their head. It speaks about the last being the first, the slave being free, and the weak becoming strong. Interestingly, therefore, it's a badly bruised, wounded and tortured figure of a saviour who becomes our greatest victor. How countercultural is that to today's image? There's a story that I read about that happened some years ago of an alligator attack on a little boy who had gone swimming. His mother witnessed the terrifying events unfold and spoke of how, in utter fear, she ran toward the water, yelling to her son as loudly as she could. From the shore's edge, the mother grabbed her little boy by the arms, just as the alligator snatched his legs. Then began an incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the mother, but the mother was much too passionate to let go of her son. A passerby heard her screams, and the alligator was shot. Remarkably, after weeks and weeks in hospital, the little boy survived. And a newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the event, after the trauma, asked if he would show him his scarred legs. They were horrific. But then, with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have great scars on my arms too. I have them because my mum wouldn't let go." When Thomas was challenged by the other disciples that Jesus had been raised from the dead, his response was, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it." And a week later, as Jesus comes again and stands among his disciples, his challenge to Thomas is, "See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." This same Jesus still bears the marks in his body as he now lives and reigns in heaven. Professor Swinton writes, "If perfection and the life of heaven is marked by what culture teaches us is perfection, then why does Jesus still carry his wounds? These are the scars that speak of sacrifice, that cry aloud, 'Undefeated champion.'" Of course, you and I may have scars too. Not from an alligator or anything quite so dramatic, but the scars of a painful past, a traumatic injury, a genetic abnormality or whatever. Some of those scars are unsightly and have caused us deep regret. But could some wounds be there because God has refused to let us go? I want to finish by saying we too have a role to play. We too are called not to forget, to not to let go of those who most need our care. That is what tonight is about, in a way. A chance to hear a little about a project that BMS are running that aims to give opportunity and justice to many more disabled people across the world. And we must not miss our opportunity to be a part of that campaign, either directly or indirectly, if we are to take seriously our responsibility to those millions in our world with a disability, for whom hope and opportunity are a distant dream. And more than that, as those created in God's image, we are to reflect his glory. Whatever we look like, wherever we live, this God invites us to come and feast with him. The invitation to all stands, and he will not let you go. We're going to spend some time praying, and we have a responsive prayer which should come up on the screen in a moment. I shall read the words in light print, and then if you read the word in dark print. So let's pray together. Gracious God, creator of all, we pray for a world that recognises that all people are created in your image, that all have immeasurable worth and warrant dignity and respect. Creator of all, hear our prayer. We pray for a world where inequalities are levelled so that children with disabilities will not die in infancy or be left uncared for and unloved. Creator of all, hear our prayer. We ask that fear and failure to understand will not govern actions, and that feelings of shame and blame will be transformed to promote opportunities and hope. Creator of all, hear our prayer. Gracious God, may we know how much richer our lives will be when we recognise you in one another. May our comfort and confusion not prevent us from being inspired to work toward the change we know is possible. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.